Welcome to our corner where we talk about the Streets of Avalon role-playing game. I'm Chris.
And I'm Brett.
And tonight we're going to be talking about the Order of the Eye, all of the magic. So Brett, what is the Order of the Eye?
Well, in a city full and just rife with guilds, I mean, you can't sling a dead cat without hitting a guild in this town, right?
They're just Tons of them.
Yeah, so mages, magic users, anyone who wields spells, it became pretty well, we need a guild. We need to have some control and so on and so forth, like any good guild does. You can't just go out there blacksmithing on your own. You should belong to a thing so we can make sure you're doing it proper and so on. The Order of the Eye is divided into different houses. Houses of Bone, House of Eternal Flame, House of Serpents, House of Light, House of Souls, House of X, Y, or Z. It's set up similar to, in my head, has always been very similar to a university. You're going there, I'm mastering in this type of study. I'm mastering in this other sort of study. I'm like, I want to learn how healing magic functions. Order of the Bone, House of the Bone. They know a lot of that stuff. That sounds really good.
Okay.
I want to figure out, you know, lights and illusions. House of Light might be a very good place to start. The names kind of don't matter as much, but what is important is this is the group that provides all official training, licensing, right? And is supposed to be accountable for every magical spell and item and anything within the city walls. Anything within the realm of Avalon, they are accountable for it.
Which is wild. That means...
As the law is written, that's the letter of the law.
Is that the document that sits in Axis Mundi?
It is. It absolutely is.
That's wild. I would be very brutal if I was a member of the Order of the Eye and I found out there was a rogue wizard out there that was using magic that I was responsible for.
So, exactly. So what they have got it down to now at this point, the magistrates have bigger problems to solve. Magic items gone amok, people putting on a thief's bone necklace and choking themselves off. Hey, that's your own problem. You're an idiot. That one solves itself. Some kid walking down the street, paralyzing people, somebody else using magic to pick locks, make people fall asleep, commit crimes, and so forth. This is where the magistrates get irritated, right? This is where the law wants to step in and say, somebody solve that problem.
Yeah, that unregulated magic right there.
Correct. Now, the Order of the Eye can't be everywhere all at once. It's just not possible.
Okay.
Every spellcaster is believed to belong to it. Right. Not everybody has their membership card, so to say, or their number or their name and such is not in the lists. But most people like, oh, you're a local sage. You have the ability to cast magic. We're aware of you. We assume you're one of those weirdos. Just do your guild thing and don't bother us. People are afraid. People don't trust it. It's weird. It's a thing they don't understand. They're able to use nature in ways that doesn't make sense. How can you make the water go backwards? How did you turn that into a rock? That doesn't make any sense, right?
Yep. How did you put your hand through that stone wall? Exactly. That doesn't seem right or good.
So people are scared and they're nervous around it. So what that does is because of that, and there's the Order of the Eye supposedly keeping track of things and all that stuff. So what that does is it makes those men and women and folks who are trying to practice magic are not... Shy is probably not the right word, but they're not boisterous about it at all. They're doing their thing. They're practicing. They're studying.
All right.
So some people are going to look at the Order of the Eye and go, ah, they're just a bunch of weird ass necromancer, dark magic, demon worshippers. We should get rid of all of them, right?
If it's different from me, then I will say that it's terrible in some way,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Unfortunately, that person that you say is terrible can burn you to death if they want to by thinking it.
Which is why we talk about it at the One-Eyed Crow. We don't talk about it on the streets in front of them because then that'd be a bad place to be. Because
then they would burn me to death with their eye, exactly. With their mind.
Factions. The houses, there's only so much money to go around. When your family says, hey, or you decide to join, there are fees. Guilds have money. There's lots of money.
Interesting.
It's kind of like rush week on a college campus in the US.
Wow. So that's a thing, huh?
Yeah, that's sort of approach, right? It's like, hey, if I get you in my frat or my sorority, I get money, right? It's important that we grow. I don't care about you, da 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 da. There's some fraternity, of course, involved in so far as that we're all wizards, we're all mages, we all cast spells, we're all members of the Order of the Eye. But if the the House of Bone is doing incredibly well, mm-hmm. that's where the money is, because the percentage cuts and so forth, the way that guild is organized.
I mean, probably does pretty well because they can heal people.
Exactly. You know, yes, if necromancy and dealing with the dead and so forth were to be legal, perhaps that Shadow House would have a better chance of getting money, but sure. there's money there. You know, it's just off the books type of thing. But there's internal industrial espionage is one way to put it, right?
Oh, okay.
You've got people who come in, the Order of the Bone wants you to join, so on and so forth. The House of Souls says, look, here's the deal. You're going to be part of our house, but we're going to let you go over there because we want to learn what's going on. So you're going to be a spy. Oh. I want you to figure out what that house is doing, how they're operating, why what they're doing works, what we're doing doesn't work, and so on. So that type of thing happens.
So I got a question. I got a couple of questions, really.
Go.
When we have these factions within mm-hmm. within the Order of the Eye, there are these houses.
Yes.
But who like runs the Order of the Eye as a whole? Like who's in charge? Like they have a lot of responsibility, but I don't see a whole lot of benefit coming back.
So they got a lot of responsibility. They make all the money, right? So when the magistrates need something done magically, mystically, they pay them.
Oh, well, that helps.
That helps.
Being rich doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. So one of the other reasons that there's so much factionalism is there is each house has its prefect, right? I run this. I run this okay. house. I run that house. She runs that house. They run that house. That's great. They do not have any one individual who runs the whole thing. That is supposed to be organized and adjudicated by the magistrates.
Interesting.
The magistrates are supposed to help keep that organized and so forth, because the magistrates have decided that, look, it's very dangerous to have these wizards doing whatever it is that they want to do. We need to have control into it. So if they want to change stuff, they want to adjust their bylaws, they want to make arrangements and so forth, we'll treat them like any other guild, except all of us, all 13 of us, need to have a play. We don't have 13 magistrates right now. So the infighting, the bribery, and the factionalism has increased.
I thought there was a house that was like, had not a house, a family that had like oversight specifically of the Order of the Eye. Is there not one?
House Travascus, number 9 house. They oversee the Order of the Eye.
Okay, so the magistrates were like, hey, Travascus, go deal with them.
Yes.
Okay.
They get to be number 9 because magic is important and is powerful and so forth. But this is the only thing the House Travascus does. That's the only one they have. Every other house also controls this, controls that, controls this other thing. That's the only guild home that they deal with. House Travascus, their entire approach is like, look, keep it down over there. You know, maintain things. We don't really cotton to any of this changing, and don't go adjusting or making blah, blah, blah. Keep your numbers standard, blah, blah. They're very bookish, very like, just do the thing. We're just raking the money.
Yeah.
There's not a single member of House Travascus who is actually able to cast a spell.
Oh, that's interesting.
They have no knowledge about it. They don't care. They were given this because they were high in favor at the time, but they're basically incompetent.
Huh.
They're not very good at what they're supposed to do.
So they're not good at like managing the Order of the Eye? They're not good administrators?
No, they have a lot of money, a lot of power, and they are related by marriage to just about every other noble family. In the 13 magistrates, the top 12, right? So they're interbred within all this stuff. So it's kind of like, that's my uncle twice removed, my cousin, my nephew. We got to do something. We can't say they're not part of the fold. They've got to be part of the 13. Man, there's only 12 of us. Fine. We'll put them here and here. Take the job nobody wants.
So what you're saying is that what they're good at is intermarrying to the other families that are in the 13.
Yes, they're very good at that. They produce some amazingly beautiful and sexy people. But that is about the extent of what they're able to do.
That's hilarious. I love it. That is the most classism, classic, like nepotism thing I think I've ever heard in my entire life.
So, of course, you have members of House Travascus who are grand wizards, or they are supreme sorcerers, depending what title they choose to have at the time. You know, they are... they're this, they're that, she's this, they're whatever. They attend graduation ceremonies, give long speeches that mean nothing. but generally speaking, what the Order of the Eye under this weirdness and so forth. There's this factionalism and so on. But at its core, what the Order of the Eye is trying to do is maintain. They're trying to maintain what's left. They know at their core, the most senior members of every house, when they meet, they might not be the heads of the houses, but the most senior members, the folks that have been around the longest, have read the books. They've been to the Axis Mundi. They have pulled this together, and they know a couple things. They know that there are dwarves. They know that the dwarves are on the Axis Mundi. They know that this is the last place left.
Yeah. I bet that makes them a bit jaded and cynical.
It does. The other thing that it does is this factionalism and so on. This is an internal attempt, whether it'll ever be successful or not, we'll see, is trying to find the best solution for the problem. And that problem is Erlig. How do we solve this? We will pit all of the wizards against each other essentially, right? Who's going to rise to the top? Who's got the best? Who could figure this out? Who could figure that out?
Survival of the fittest, the strongest will rise type thing.
Yes. And they are looking at it saying we need to find a way to permanently protect ourselves. They don't know why or how it hasn't been taken over yet. They don't understand what's happening. They don't know why Avalon still remains.
They don't get the magic about the lamps.
Not 100%, no. Lamplighters don't like them. Lamplighters don't like talking to them.
That makes sense. I mean, I wouldn't want to give those secrets to humans either if I was the Lamplighters.
Nope. We talked about jaded. We talked about the Lamplighters before.
They don't trust anybody, man.
No, and just also they forget after however many millennia. There's only so much in there.
Thousands and thousands of years, man.
It's buried in there somewhere in the bits and bytes.
Hey folks, Chris here. I just wanted to jump in and say we are part of the Polygamers Podcast Network. And with that, there's some great shows in the Polygamers Podcast Network that you might want to listen to, like the Gnomecast. Several gnomes from Gnomes 2 get together to talk about gaming topics and themselves in an effort to entertain you and avoid being thrown in the stew.
It's buried in there somewhere in the bits and bytes.
Oh man, I have so many questions now.
But the deepest heads of this order, the Order of the Eye, what they're doing, all the deepest members of the Order of the Eye, their houses, are trying to figure out what's their answer. How can they make this last? What can they do? Can they go anywhere else? Can we make a new world? Could we go somewhere else? Can we protect the place we have? What options are there? All these houses, a new house will sprout up and they'll watch it die. Damn it. They didn't get anywhere with it. They didn't get anywhere with this idea. They didn't get anywhere with that idea. They feed into these different houses ideas about magical projects.
So that's what it's about.
Yeah. It's like going into MIT and saying, hey, I got a really good idea. DARPA. I got a cool idea. Oh, I need a robot that can disarm a bomb.
Okay.
Really, it's not just a bomb disarming robot. What it really is this other thing. But they're
that's clever
this stuff. Yes. They're feeding this stuff into the group to find an answer.
So I have a question though. Like, the way that I always kind of like frame magic in the world is like, there's just not as much of it as there used to be. Like there was greater spells 5,000, 6,000 years ago, especially in the time of the Soul War, than there are today. So I've always thought of it as like, there's just not as much magic. There's not as much aether in the world anymore. Is that a thing? Is that real? And do they understand that?
So what they would understand, and so Brett's answer is that the ether is still there. What's happened is it's similar to it. We're in a Dark Ages period. How did you build those aqueducts? I don't know. The Romans built them. They're falling apart. Yeah, I have no technology to rebuild that. This is falling apart.
Okay.
It's there. It exists. I should be able to figure it out. I don't know how. There are books. There's lore. There's a spell there. Like, this should do this thing. Can you do it? No, I can't do it either. This one should make a pocket dimension. Why can't I make it work? Why doesn't this function?
Why can't they?
They don't know how. They have not been able to put it together. Again, if you think about it, if I gave you a Tesla said, hey, put a gas engine in it.
So I've been running it the other way, that like they've had to become more and more technically proficient because there's just not as much magic. So they have to like make it work, which means you and me have a different idea about this. We just have to fix it. I'll go fix it. No, I do because there's mechanics written in the game that model that.
The cool thing though is that what from my perspective is that is what's going on behind. it doesn't mean that the people out there aren't trying to become as technically proficient as humanly possible with what they have. Let's pick on a sport. Pick any sport you want. You had the sports from
basketball.
Basketball. Larry Bird.
Sure.
Super talented, blah, blah, blah. Could Larry Bird beat today's star?
Yes.
We can argue about it, though, but how did he do that? What weird, phenomenal thing did he do? He didn't have the shoes. He didn't have the diet program. He didn't have da-da-da-da-da-da-da. How is this possible? How was Ray Nitschke so feared in the old Packer? And he wasn't 6'7", 400 pounds of muscle, and he couldn't run a 40. And how could he do that without all this high-end advancement? They're doing the best they can with what they have. They're also comparing – if they go back and compare themselves to the wizards and mages of old, like, yeah, we just don't have it anymore. It's just not there. But we got to do the best we can with what we got. During the Dark Ages, people made swords. They made wheels. They made carts. They farmed. They did stuff. And they did a goddamn good job. Otherwise, we wouldn't fucking be here, right? So they did it. And they did really well. And they increasingly, slowly but surely got better. Man, they're in a lull. They're in a lull, and they're getting it's harder, and but they're gonna crawl out of it if they last.
I love the idea that there is like a way for them to like gain hold of that again.
Yep.
That the magic is out there. It's just because it makes sense. Because whenever I have anything evil, like anything Erligian show up, like it's got juice. Like it just does. Yep. But the idea that they're still like they could harness the aether that's out there. They just don't know how to do it. Cause the way that they can construct spells, or maybe the magic has changed or whatever, or something about it is just, it's not the same as it was. And it just, they just can't do it the way that they used to be able to do it. They just don't have the skill set to harness it the way it is now.
Like if you look at let's go ancient aliens for fun, right? How the hell did they build the pyramids? I don't know. Puma Punku, how did you do this?
Lots of indentured servitude because volunteers.
But we know it was done. So if you look at some of those things, you're like, God dang, how the hell? I don't know, man. Maybe we just don't know how. We just don't know. It wasn't written down. Is it written down? It is. It's in a dead language that was dead 6,000 years before I was born. It's buried somewhere. Maybe it's in Access Mundi. Maybe it's gone.
Oh, okay.
But my wizard walks out and he or she sees. They see the thing. They're like, that existed. I know it existed. It's right there. Uh-huh. If you think about Edgelin Nix in Der Folen, when they see the bridge and their clock tower, these are ancient things. They're like, that is insanely weird.
I mean, the clock tower in and of itself is just a marvel, right?
Yes. Yep. If Galorian is filled, Pathfinder's world, Galorian is filled with artifacts from Thessalon empires and times way beyond and way before. And there are bridge pieces, towers, statues. Like, how the f- did they do that? No idea.
Just lost magic.
It's just not that it can be done. It obviously can be done because it was done. Why can't I do it? I don't know yet.
The reason I ask, and boy, this is like, now this conversation has become like far afield of what I was thinking of, is because there's ritual magic in Avalon, in the game of Avalon. Like you can just construct spells as a magic user. Using over the course of time, like you can use your downtime to do long-term rituals,
correct,
to like build out wards that will last for long periods of time or whatever. But I usually say that those things fade and whatnot because they just don't have the staying power that the dwarves had, or the mages of that period of time when the dwarves and Thorbindor were around had the ability to like make that magic stick.
So did they use dwarven ruins? Was there some elven twist?
Yeah, maybe it was all these things.
Do these members of the old members of the Order of the Eye are looking at this going, it had to work. How? We've had these men and women in this house working on this charm nonstop for a month. They've been cycling students in and out of this room to maintain this charm. Why do we have to maintain every 4 hours someone has to update this charm? This makes no sense. Why can't we make it permanent? There's got to be a way. If you go back to... and like at Apple IIe, Tandy computers, the old days, punch cards. Boy, there's got to be a way to make this better. Yeah, but this is all I got.
Oh, I love it.
All I got are punch cards right now. I can still make a fucking kick-ass pro. I can still land on the goddamn moon. I can solve Apollo 13.
We just need somebody to invent DOS.
Yeah, I don't have this phone, which is more powerful than the Apollo 13 module, right?
Heck, even just from, like, even that, like, just can we invent like a DOS operating system.
Yes, exactly. There's stuff to be done. And I think of it as the Dark Ages. Again, this is a very general.
No, I love Dark Ages. I love it.
Like, we had a thing, Soul War occurred, loss, massive loss. We're crawling out of it. The problem is that outside of it is Erlig. Will I crawl out of it in time?
Imagine if there was a whole like an adventure or scenario or a series of scenarios that were around the idea, like somebody figured out how to make magic permanent.
Yeah.
Everyone would lose their minds.
This is why magic swords and magical items are so important.
Yeah.
I have this ring that lets me levitate. It just lets you levitate whenever you want to.
I know, right? Yeah,
totally, bro. I can do it with a spell. No, you can't, because this little golden trinket is a forgotten art.
It's why that in the previous episode that we talked about, I talked about that Foxmere family with that vault that got their stuff taken from it. It was 10 magic items. That's hundreds of gold pieces worth of money.
Yes.
That just got stolen.
Yep.
Like that's like walk away and retire money right there for a thief.
Agreed.
Just the concept of like somebody figured out how to make magic stick for like longer than that 4 to 6 hour or even like a couple day or even a couple week, like, and you have to like re-up the magic. Imagine if you can make that stick for a few years.
So this is where one of the other pieces for me is that I think about the necromancers and the people who like to whisper to the otherworldly.
Uh-huh.
The necromancer's like, oh, I can make it stick. I got a whole field of dead bodies here. I'm just going to suck juice. And the other guy's like, oh, don't worry. I've been talking to the brain gorgers, and they gave me a clue. Oh, I talked to this demon. I talked to this extra thing. It's taught me a thing. What's happening there is these are untrained minds. They don't know. And somebody just went back in time and said, hey, here's a solar powered calculator. We joke about that, right? It's like, oh my God, what is this thing?
I mean, the person with the abacus is instantly like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, I can make math in seconds it's wild. And so analogies are can be difficult here. And there's tons.
It's difficult. I think it makes perfect sense.
But you know what I'm saying is that these folks are, when you go to necromancy and you're dealing with the undead or you're dealing with outer beings, things from the dark, you're trying to shortcut it. And the Order of the Eye does not take kindly to that stuff.
No, because they
know that's dangerous. They know that's dangerous. And the last thing they need is their version of the Salem witch trials.
Uh-huh.
That's the last thing they need. The fact that the order and survived at all during the Soul War is a minor miracle in and of itself.
Oh, they've been around that long, huh?
All the bad things that have happened, the fact that they were able to scrape themselves into the condition they're in now, they know this.
And it sounds like they're just starting to ramp back up to a place where they might actually be able to make some breakthroughs.
Yes, they're on the cusp, right? But how long is that cusp window? I don't know. Two more generations?
the core book of this game will not have room for all the things that we're talking about. But there is nothing to say that we can't put like a series on the website or a bunch of stuff in a folio of some sort or a PDF of some sort that like expands about this, the Order of the Eye, because man, is this fascinating stuff to talk about.
Well, the cool thing is, like, for me, well, not the cool, one of the many cool things is when I want to have more magic in there, the Order of the Eye has hired you to do a thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you go get a component, a piece, a tchotchke, something, you obtain it. They're like, I like those guys. Those guys do good work. That was nice. That was slick. That was smooth. We trust these guys. I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more of this. Hey, could you do me this favor? Could you do me that favor? Next thing you know, you're working for the Order of the Eye. You're on maybe on a regular paycheck. Or as your character is advancing, if they uncover a thing and the Order of the Eye finds out, they may come to you and say, I will buy that from you. Would you come and teach us? And the unscrupulous members within the Order of the Eye might be like, you will never do that again, or else this, depending on what you've done. You have all the different variations of the factions within, like, don't fucking do that. You're not a member. Screw you, I'll kill you for even trying to cast magic, all the way to like, look, I won't tell if you don't tell, but you guys got to teach me. You teach me and I'll let it go, Todd, you know, that type of thing.
I mean, I could talk about this for a lot longer, but I think we've gone on long enough at this point.
Oh, that's plenty. That's plenty.
Thank you so much, Brett, for all that information about the Order of the Eye. I know I've been educated and I use these guys all the time. I love mages in the Streets of Avalon game.
I like to have the truth is always malleable. Well, it's a made up thing, right?
Yeah, it's all my nonsense.
But if you have it in there and what you've done, you're like, man, I really like what I've done. There's no reason that you can't say, oh, that fits too. It's just another piece. It's another ploy. It's another thing. It's layers.
Thank you for stuff listening like this. To Under the Lamp.
Like onions. Streets onions Avalon, have layers.
Onions games have podcast. Layers.
If you enjoyed the show, please follow or subscribe on whatever podcatcher you listen to this on. If you'd like to get the playtest book or keep up with the ongoing development of the game, check out thestreetsofavalon.com, our home for all your Streets of Avalon content. And we'll see you under the lamplight next week.